Today we will be talking about the most outrageous double standard in the world today, the two different standards by which Jews and non-Jews are judged in the court of public opinion, which today really means the court of the controlled media. Let me begin by quoting from a wire service dispatch of April 19th. Dateline Washington. The Justice Department began deportation proceedings Friday against a retired radio broadcaster who edited several anti-Semitic newspapers in Hungary during World War II. Ferenc Kore, 86, a retired Radio Free Europe producer and broadcaster of Englewood, New Jersey, was served an order to show cause why he should not be deported. By helping publish anti-Semitic articles, Kore, quote, assisted in the persecution of Hungarian Jews by fostering a climate of anti-Semitism in northern Transylvania, which conditioned the Hungarian public to acquiesce, to encourage, and to carry out the abominable anti-Semitic policies of the Hungarian government in the early 1940s, close quote. A three-judge panel of the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia ruled last year. The panel unanimously upheld a lower court order stripping Kore of his U.S. citizenship. The show cause order, served by the department's Nazi hunting Office of Special Investigations and the Immigration and Naturalization Service's Newark, New Jersey office, seeks Kore's deportation for assisting in persecution on the basis of race, religion, national origin, and political opinion, and for lying about his wartime activities to get into the United States in 1950. Kore's number is unlisted, and his last known attorney did not immediately return a telephone message. In June 1994, at the request of the Special Investigations Office, U.S. District Judge Marianne Trump Berry of Newark stripped Kore of the U.S. citizenship he had obtained in 1956. She found that Kore's admitted work as founder and responsible editor of Zekely Nep, an anti-Semitic and anti-American newspaper in Nazi-allied Hungary from 1941 to 1944 constituted, quote, advocacy and assistance in persecution, close quote, and, quote, membership and participation in a movement hostile to the United States, close quote. She characterized the articles as, quote, poison, close quote, which portrayed Jews as, quote, alien elements with diabolical skills, close quote, and as being, quote, traitorous, unscrupulous, cheating throughout Hungarian history, close quote, and advocated the, quote, de-Jewification of Hungarian life, close quote, since, quote, a final solution may be achieved only by deporting Jewish elements, close quote. Eli Rosenbaum, director of the Special Investigations Office, said that, quote, propagandists such as Kore laid the foundation for Nazi genocide by fostering a climate of hate in which inhumane measures could be carried out without protest, close quote. End of article. Now, 53 Americans have been stripped of their citizenship, and 45 have been deported from the United States, sometimes to face political trials in hostile countries by this agency of Jewish vengeance, paid for by your tax dollars, the Office of Special Investigations. Need I note the irony of Eli Rosenbaum et al. Stripping this Hungarian journalist, Ferenc Kore, of his citizenship and trying to deport him for, among other things, quote, assisting in persecution on the basis of political opinion, close quote? Need I note the irony in the fact that the most damning thing that they can say about Kore is that he wished Jews, who were opponents in a very real war against his nation at the time, to be deported? What was Kore doing but expressing a political opinion, an opinion shared by a large percentage of his countrymen at the time? What was Kore doing but writing and publishing articles? Sure, the articles were displeasing to some Jews, but is this now or has this ever been a crime in the United States? Should it be a crime? On what legal basis can Kore be punished? Of course, there is none. It is an illegal proceeding, a star chamber trial with unconstitutional attainder on Mr. Kore and his family. And it is happening because you are permitting it.
You are tuned to American Dissident Voices, an island of free speech in a sea of controlled and managed news. For a catalog of books, tapes, and videos that the censors of political correctness don't want you to see, just send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
Now, let us look at the other side of the Jewish double standard. Ferenc Kore can be legally crucified because he once said things that organized Jewry doesn't like. But organized Jewry can kill innocent children and easily get away with it. From author Ingrid Rimland, we received copies of an important series of articles written by courageous reporter Robert Fisk and published in London's The Independent. Let me read you some excerpts from these articles. Dateline Cana, Southern Lebanon. It was a massacre. Not since Sabra and Shatila had I seen the innocent slaughtered like this. The Lebanese refugee women and children and men lay in heaps, their hands or arms or legs missing, beheaded or disemboweled. There were well over 100 of them. A baby lay without a head. The Israeli shells had sifted through them as they lay in the United Nations shelter, believing that they were safe under the world's protection. Like the Muslims of Srebrenica, the Muslims of Cana were wrong. In front of a burning building of the UN's Fijian Battalion headquarters, a girl held a corpse in her arms, the body of a gray-haired man whose eyes were staring at her as she rocked the corpse back and forth in her arms, keening and weeping and crying the same words over and over, "My father, my father." A Fijian UN soldier stood amid a sea of bodies and without saying a word held aloft the body of a headless child. "The Israelis have just told us they'll stop shelling the area," a UN soldier said, shaking with anger. "Are we supposed to thank them?" In the remains of a burning building, the conference room of the Fijian UN headquarters, a pile of corpses was burning. The roof had crashed in flames onto their bodies, cremating them in front of my eyes. When I walked towards them, I slipped on a human hand. Israel's slaughter of civilians in this terrible 10-day offensive, 206 by last night, has been so cavalier, so ferocious, that not a Lebanese will forgive this massacre. There had been the ambulance attacked on Saturday, the sisters killed in Yomor the day before, the 2-year-old girl decapitated by an Israeli missile 4 days ago. And earlier yesterday, the Israelis had slaughtered a family of 12. The youngest was a 4-day-old baby when Israeli helicopter pilots fired missiles into their home. Shortly afterwards, 3 Israeli jets dropped bombs only 250 meters from a UN convoy on which I was traveling, blasting a house 30 feet into the air in front of my eyes. Traveling back to Beirut to file my report on the Cana massacre to the Independent last night, I found 2 Israeli gunboats firing at the civilian cars on the river bridge north of Sidon. Every foreign army comes to grief in Lebanon, The Sabra and Shatila massacre of Palestinians by Israel's militia allies in 1982 doomed Israel's 1982 invasion. Now the Israelis are stained again by the bloodbath at Cana, the scruffy little Lebanese hill town where the Lebanese believe Jesus turned water into wine. The blood of all the refugees ran, quite literally, in streams from the shell-smashed UN compound restaurant in which the Shiite Muslims from the hill villages of southern Lebanon, who had heeded Israel's order to leave their homes, had pathetically sought shelter. Fijian and French soldiers heaved another group of dead. They lay with their arms tightly wrapped around each other into blankets. A French UN trooper muttered oaths to himself as he opened a bag in which he was dropping feet, fingers, and pieces of people's arms. And as we walked through this obscenity, a swarm of people burst into the compound. They had driven in wild convoys down from Tyre and began to pull the blankets off the mutilated corpses of their mothers and sons and daughters, and to shriek, "Allahu Akbar! God is great," and to threaten the UN troops. We had, in their eyes, suddenly become not UN troops and journalists, but Westerners, Israel's allies, an object of hatred and venom. One bearded man with fierce eyes stared at us, his face dark with fury. "You are Americans," he screamed at us. "Americans are dogs. You did this. Americans are dogs." President Bill Clinton has allied himself with Israel in its war against terrorism, and the Lebanese, in their grief, had not forgotten this. Israel's official expression of sorrow was rubbing salt in their wounds. "I would like to be made into a bomb and blow myself up amid the Israelis," one old man said. And as for the Hezbollah, which has repeatedly promised Israelis will pay for their killing of Lebanese civilians, its revenge cannot be long in coming. Operation Grapes of Wrath may then turn out to be all too aptly named. Hervé de Charette's face was as white as death. The French foreign minister, neatly clad in blue suit and tie, had gingerly walked through the scene of last week's massacre at the UN's compound, nodding diplomatically as the UN's Fijian commander described the 12 minutes in which Israeli shells slaughtered up to 120 refugees, the sliced-up corpses that his soldiers were forced to pick up, the difficulty in identifying parts of the children who had been torn to pieces. Monsieur de Charette listened with distaste, but then he was confronted by a survivor. Fawzia Zrir, a small, frail woman in a scarf, simply walked up to the French foreign minister and began talking to him with an odd mixture of affection and anger. "For us, France is our mother and God is our father," she said in a flight of rhetoric that might have been written by the Quai d'Orsay public relations men, who beamed happily at this fortunate encounter. Then things began to go wrong. "We have lived through hell," Mrs. Zrir continued. "The people were chopped into pieces by the Israeli bombs. They bleed, these people. You should have seen the heads." At the French foreign minister's right, a Lebanese softly translated the woman's dreadful words. The PR men began to look uneasy. "We have lived here 40 years, and now we are treated like animals," the woman cried. "Do you know what the dogs did at night after the killing? They were hungry, and I saw them in the ruins eating fingers and pieces of our people." Monsieur de Charette stared at her as if he had seen a ghost. This had clearly not been part of the program, a schedule that was supposed to have whisked the foreign minister from a light lunch at UN headquarters to Nakora to a photo opportunity on the roof of the wrecked UN battalion HQ, a 3-minute press conference to give the impression of openness, and a swift drive back to the coast and a helicopter to Beirut. Everything, in fact, that would enhance France's much-trumpeted love for Lebanon. Reality had very definitely not been a part of the program. A UN soldier was quite blunt about it. This place is going to be turned into one of those awful pilgrimage sites for the great and the good, he muttered. Boutros Ghali sent his emissaries today to express their horror, but they'll do no more than they did after Srebrenica. They'll tut-tut and shrug it off, and they won't even have the guts to condemn Israel, even now, for this wickedness, close quote. The problem is that neither America nor Europe are going to condemn a country which pounded refugees of Kana with 155mm shells for 12 minutes. And such condemnation is about the only palliative that the Lebanese might accept for the moment. And you can see their point. On the coast road back to Beirut last night, there were burning cars, civilians deliberately targeted by Israeli warships north of Sidon, three of whom had been badly wounded. Had this been a Syrian warship shelling Israeli civilians on the Haifa-Tel Aviv road, of course Mr. Clinton himself would have deplored, rightly, an act of international terrorism. But not a word of criticism about this scandalous targeting of Lebanese civilians was uttered by the foreign ministers of America, Russia, France, and Italy as they sought to bring an end to an apparently unstoppable war. End of article. Dr. Ingrid Rimland adds in her note, did we not recently give $20 million to the Israeli government to combat terrorism? You can no more keep retribution for this wanton bloodshed from this country than you can keep a cloud from raining. Wake up, you minions of the media. Tell what is going on and whom we are supporting. I, too, am an American. You on my list who are Americans, you listen to what they are saying. You listen and never forget. Americans are dogs. You did this. Americans are dogs. If there is karma in the universe, the karma will be horrific. Close quote. Now, just a few days before this attack on Lebanese civilians at the UN camp, Israel attacked a Lebanese ambulance with a helicopter gunship, killing three women and three children. According to the Associated Press, quote, Israel said the ambulance was hit because it was carrying a Hezbollah activist and again warned Lebanese civilians to stay away from guerrillas, close quote. I wonder who the activist was. One of the women or one of the children? The AP story on the attack continues, quote, we picked up the people heading to Tyre. Then I heard a whooshing sound. I was sucked out of the vehicle, said ambulance driver Abbas Medeli from his hospital bed in Tyre. It all happened in a second. The ambulance belonged to the Islamic Message Scouts, an affiliate of Shiite political groups. Philippe Gaillard, head of the Red Cross, said the ambulance attack violated international humanitarian laws. Close quote. End of article. Let me ask you, will there be war crimes trials for the perpetrators of these atrocities? Will the Jewish killers of civilians be hounded to the ends of the earth and the ends of their lives and deported to the Arab world to stand trial for their atrocities? Think carefully and decide for yourselves how much longer you will accept the Jewish double standard. Ladies and gentlemen, you paid for that helicopter gunship, and you paid for those rockets. You paid for the uniforms, the clubs, the tanks, the aircraft, the missiles, the bombs, and the bullets that are now being used against innocent civilians and against the dispossessed. Therefore, you can stop this horrible killing by refusing to continue your support for the Jewish state. Someday, those guns and bombs may be turned against you. They will be turned against you the moment it is in the interest of the evil leaders of organized Jewry to do so. I do not ask anyone listening to me to respond in kind, to respond with inhumanity and violence. No. I ask you now, while it is still possible, to put an end to the violence. I ask you to devote your lives to the task of liberating the nations of the West from the Zionist yoke.
Breaking down the walls of censorship, this is American Dissident Voices. Send $1 and you'll receive our catalog of suppressed books and tapes, including books and tapes you can't get anywhere else. Send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
One of the greatest things in the world today is the Internet, where freedom of speech still reigns supreme, and your message is just as powerful and as big and as accessible as the Jewish Network's message. America's enemies are working hard to change all that, but while you still can, get on the net and check out our worldwide website at www.natvan.com. That's www.natvan.com.
This is American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
For those of you without internet access, you can receive a cassette recording of today's broadcast for $12 postpaid by writing to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. If you would like transcripts of this and our other excellent programs in permanent illustrated printed form, with additional articles and special offers and discounts on other patriotic literature, send a donation of $40 and ask for a 12-issue subscription to our publication entitled Free Speech. For a collection of the very best articles from Dr. Pierce's patriotic newspaper from over a 12-year period, send for our huge coffee table-sized 217-page collection entitled The Best of Attack and National Vanguard, our radio offer number 4. Radio offer number 4 is available to all who send a donation of $25 or more to the same address, National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. That's $40 for a subscription to Free Speech, $12 for a cassette copy of today's program, and $25 for our huge book of collected articles. That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Overseas listeners may pay with international reply coupons or an international postal money order. Until our next broadcast, this is Kevin Alfred Strom saying, keep on thinking free.